Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Shadows on the Wall, Volume 2. Story number 1. I have been seeing ghosts since I was 6 years old and interacting with them at 13 years of age. Some were docile, some were nasty, but my most recent was unlike the others I have encountered. I moved into my husband's house after we got married, and I noticed that I had 5 ghosts living with me. A little boy who plays with my son's toys, an old woman who watches TV with me, a cat in my kitchen, a young woman who lingers by the door, and the large black dog on my porch. I was fine with these, as they did not interfere with my comings and goings in the house. The cat keeps me company when I cook, the dog when I garden, and the old lady when I watch TV. The little boy and the young woman stick to themselves, but sometimes they stay in a room with me. After about 6 months, I was reading a book and something caught my eye. I thought it was the little boy or the old woman walking in the hallway. So I turned my head to acknowledge them, and to my surprise and fear, it was a large man, about 6 feet tall, standing in my hallway. He leaned on the doorway and stood there staring at me. He was solid black with red eyes. I was very unnerved and pretended to ignore him, because I did not get a docile feeling from him at all. He stood there for about a half hour, never moving, just staring. I was not going to get up until he went away. Finally, he turned and walked off into my son's room. Maternal instincts took over, and I ran in there, but nothing was in there. A few days later, my son started having horrible nightmares, waking up screaming. To this day, he will not sleep in his room without his dog in there with him. During Christmas, I was having some awful dreams, and I woke up terrified. I sat straight up in bed, and he was standing at the edge of my bed. His eyes were brighter red this time. I sat there staring at him. I was hoping he wasn't real until he started to move. I hunched down, and I tried to sleep, but I couldn't because he would not leave. The next night, it was the same, except he was standing on my side of the bed. I tried to wake my husband up, who sleeps light, but he would not wake up. I spent another terrified night with this man staring at me. By the third night, I did not want to sleep, but I had to get up early. I had the same nightmare and woke up. This time, the man was sitting on the edge of my bed, and he leaned down so his face was 2 inches from mine. All I could see were the bright red eyes and his body blocking out the light from the living room. I was so scared, I had a hard time breathing. He leaned even closer and told me, "If you tell him, I will bite out your tongue. If you yell, I will bite out your tongue." I kept my mouth shut. I've never had a ghost threaten me like that before. I leaned back and squeezed my eyes shut. After a while, I felt his presence leave my room. Now he stands in my hallway, lounging by my bedroom door, and he lingers there all night long. I have to walk right next to him to get into my bedroom. Every once in a while, I wake up and he is standing next to or at the end of my bed. I go back to sleep, hoping that this will be the last night I see him. Story number 2. I'm a grown man with 57 years and an artist, a painter. I'm currently working on a series of paintings which concern themselves with the subject of unknown and unexplainable fear. The idea for this series came to me as both in Scotland and then again last summer while vacationing up in northern Wisconsin at a resort I had gone to each summer with my family from 1952 until the late 1960s. 39 years later, I returned on my own to see what time had or had not done to change this most magical spot of my childhood. At first, I was overjoyed to see that only the smallest and most necessary changes had occurred in my long absence. In so many ways, it was almost as if nothing had changed since the day I left with my family for what I thought then would be my last time ever at this wonderful place. The very first night of my return to the resort, I had an overwhelming feeling of fear come over me. Lost in my childhood memories was the fact that I had experienced the same type of fear at this resort as a child. As a child, I remember having to stay in bed and deal with my fear by pulling the cover over my head until sleep came and took me safely away until morning. As an adult, I could do as I pleased. I got up from bed and got dressed. I walked out of my cabin and followed a path which led through the darkness of a small stand of pine trees before opening to the path that would take me to the old lodge, which was built in 1894. I had always thought the lodge was haunted, even as a child. Now as a grown man, I still thought it was possible for the building, so rich in its history, to be haunted, although I had never seen anything to make believe it was. Not until that first night, anyway. The sound of leaves rustling was not new to my senses. There was a large population of deer in this area, and the occasional bear as well. Still, there was something unnatural about these sounds. My fear intensified a bit as I stepped up on the long porch of the lodge. As I looked into the darkness of the far end of the porch, I noticed what appeared to be the shape of a person wearing some sort of cloak. It didn't move. I continued looking at it until I noticed what I thought to be two beady red eyes. Once again, my fear was growing more intense. My heart was pounding. I was frozen where I stood, and then it was gone. For the remainder of my 2 weeks at the resort, I continued to search for this cloaked person. There were a few other spottings before my last encounter. The night before I was to leave, I was overwhelmed by an uneasiness and a strange feeling that I was being watched. I'd packed up my car before I went to bed so that I could leave just as dawn broke. I went into the darkened bedroom of my cabin and noticed the same, or another cloaked visitor. Again, I stood frozen. Before a second of time had passed, the cloaked figure was next to me, so close I could touch what I thought was the fabric of his cloak. Just as I began to move my hand to touch the cloak, I felt a sharp object puncture the skin of my right hand. I pulled my hand back, and as I did, a weak, fragile voice said, "Remember." Then it was gone. The room felt normal once again. The little puncture in my hand was no worse than if I had been scratched by a straight pin. Just a drop of blood covered the spot where I had been stuck. After I went back home, I began looking up paranormal sites on the internet. It was during this time I first read of shadow people. Could this have been an encounter with a shadow person? Whatever it was, unless I was dreaming and cut myself while I slept, this thing moved faster than anything I've ever known. And who or what made the sound of the voice? Ever since, I've been searching for all the information I can get my hands on about shadow people. They are now making an appearance in my paintings. But I'm putting them in the paintings. They are not appearing on their own. I continue to feel a presence now and then when I am alone at my house. Often I think I see movement, but it is almost over as fast as it began. Lately, I can feel something staring at me from behind. Story number 3. I've always been a little skeptical about paranormal stuff, so what happened to my wife and I came as a surprise, to say the least. My wife was running the vacuum over the bedroom carpet while I was chatting to her brother downstairs. She came down after a while looking quite pale. I asked her what was wrong, and she asked us who just went to the bathroom. Neither of us, we replied. She then said that while vacuuming, she saw someone walk across the landing into the bathroom. She noticed that whoever it was hadn't shut the door behind them, so she stopped cleaning and went down the hall to close it. When she got to the door, nobody was in the bathroom. For a while, she thought that either my brother-in-law or myself were winding her up, but not for long. My first encounter was about 6 months after. I woke suddenly one Saturday morning, sitting up in bed as if I had been rudely awakened, eyes open staring at a tall shadowy figure at the end of the bed. Behind the shadow figure was the window with the curtains drawn, but enough light spilling through to light the room considerably. The light, however, did not penetrate the shadow person. It wore a tall hat, like the kind of hat worn in Victorian London. Imagine Jack the Ripper, and what appeared to be a cloak. It had no legs, but just hovered about 3 feet above the floor. It stayed there for a second, and then appeared to realize that I could see it, and seemed to literally move back slightly before turning to its left and darting off, disappearing into nothingness. I exclaimed a profanity and woke my wife up. I was quite shook up by this time, and I had to get out of bed. She thought that maybe I woke out of a dream, but I know I was awake, and clearly remember saying, "What the F was that?" A few weeks later, my wife got up in the middle of the night to visit the toilet. When she returned to the bedroom, she thought she saw me, or sort of my silhouette, bending over my side of the bed. She was just about to ask what I was doing when she noticed me fast asleep in the bed. She quickly looked back at the thing only to see absolutely nothing at all. She told me that it was as if the thing was inspecting me or watching me sleep, which gave me the creeps a little, even though no harm came to either of us. This prompted several discussions between us both to reassure ourselves that we definitely saw something. We moved out of that house now, but there was one last thing that happened before we left. I had just cleared out the loft and was climbing back down the ladder. I took a last look around the loft on my way down when suddenly the ladder jolted backward and I was flung off to the landing below. I had been up and down the ladder all that day and not once had the ladder moved in the slightest. I didn't see anything this time, but got the distinct feeling that the ladder was pushed or kicked from above with considerable force. We've got 2 cats, and at the time, an 18-month-old son. The cats were always on edge in that house, and used to hiss and stare at the walls, which I know cats are renowned for doing, but my son used to babble and talk to things that we couldn't see. Since moving, the cats are fine and sleep a lot more, and my son, although older, doesn't talk to invisible friends anymore. Shortly after moving, I had a phone call from our buyer. We were out at the time, but he left a message saying he needed to ask a question, and he sounded quite tense. I called him back and had to leave a message too, saying that I was happy to answer any questions he had, but he never called back. I often wonder if he wanted to ask the obvious, like, "Is this haunted?" or something, but then thought better of it. I guess I'll never know, and I'm not about to call him and freak him out by relating this story to him. I'm 31, by the way, my wife is 28, and we're both normal, rational people. It's taken me a while to talk to anyone outside my family about this, but the other day at work, the subject came up, and I told the above story. One of my colleagues suggested shadow people, so I started searching the net. I found a site with pictures drawn by other shadowers, so to speak. One of the pictures was so like the thing I saw that in a way I'm comforted knowing that we aren't the only ones to have had this experience. Until this happened to us, I would probably have laughed in the face of anyone who told me they saw a shadow man. Now I no longer find the subject funny. I'm convinced they exist and really want to know what they are. We've not encountered anything since, thankfully. As to a little bit of background about that original house, it was an old Edwardian semi-detached built in 1904. I distinctly remember sitting in the estate agents looking at various properties for sale when the picture of the house just stood out from the rest. It's called Gladstone House, and for some reason it felt just right. The whole purchase went very well, and we became quite friendly with the vendors, including a celebratory meal when a move date was agreed. It turned out that the husband and owner of the property, a Mr. P. Barton, acquired the house when his grandfather died. I presume it was left to him in the will. My wife and I often joke that old man Barton may have died in the house and could be watching us. Remember that at this time I absolutely did not and still have my reservations about ghosts. When my wife first saw the person walk into the bathroom, she was still pregnant with our son and nothing more was seen for about a year. My sightings at the end of the bed happened shortly after we put the property on the market to sell, and my wife saw it again leaning over me about 3 weeks after that. Then nothing more until the loft ladder incident, which really did freak me a little. I almost feel that whatever this thing is, it didn't want us to leave or felt angry that we were leaving it somehow. We had only lived in the house for about 18 months in total, so I can't explain why it should feel so attached to us. Maybe it has something to do with our son. Story number 4. I'm more than a little skeptical of ghosts and the paranormal. And several years ago, I had an experience with a house that my father and I moved into in 1986. A few years ago, I started noticing stories about shadow people and realized that some other people have had similar experiences. I would like to share this experience with anyone who can relate to it. When I first moved in, I thought I saw one of the neighborhood children running into the house and down the hall. When I went to look for him, there was no one there. All the doors were closed, and there was no way out of the house in that direction. I didn't think anything of it at the time. As time passed, I began seeing something in my peripheral vision, just outside of my direct view. But when I would turn to look at it, there would be nothing there. I always assumed that a car had driven down the road and was just casting an odd shadow. Then, during the winter of 1987, something odd began happening. Very late at night, the television in the empty living room would turn on with the volume turned all the way up to a channel with empty static. The first time it happened, I opened the door to turn the television off. When I did this, I thought I heard unintelligible chattering and footsteps. This frightened me, so I left the television on and bolted back in my room. This only happened a few times over a period of 3 years. The first encounter, winter of 1987. The first unmistakable encounter with a shadow being was sometime in the late 1987. My door would mysteriously come ajar during the middle of the night, and I would have to get up and close it. This happened dozens of times. Then one night, when I went to get up to close it, I saw a tall shadow with a fedora hat standing on the other side of the door. It was blacker than the darkness around it, featureless, and was staring right at me. Terrified and feeling I had no place to run, I picked up a screwdriver and lunged at the figure. As I did this, it slipped into the wall to the right of me within a split second. It made no sound and went through a solid wall. I was so frightened I thought I was going to die. After this, I slept with the kitchen knives hidden under my bed and put a 30-pound stack of encyclopedias in front of the door at night to keep the door from opening. In the few instances where I heard the television turn itself on in the middle of the night, I let my father handle it. My father never once accused me of turning the television set on, which I thought odd. He did ask me if I heard the television set come on in the middle of the night also, to reassure himself that he wasn't the only one who had heard it. A few times I also remember hearing my dad down the hall, apparently telling what he thought was me, that it was too late at night and that he had to get to work in the morning. I got the distinct impression that after this happened a few times, he realized that it wasn't me. He began sleeping in the den in 1989 rather than his own room, which happened to be right near the area where these shadows usually appeared. Other than hearing knockings on the wall between my room and the kitchen and occasionally having objects on my shelf start shaking and sometimes being knocked off, for what seemed like no reason, the disturbances stopped for a while. Second encounter, spring of 1988. Then sometime in 1988, I had the second encounter. I remember waking up in the middle of the night and seeing a shadow trying to move through the door. It sort of looked like an amorphous blob of smoke. At first, I thought it was the neighbor's cockatiel that had escaped from its cage, but then I realized that it was a black, violently grasping skeletal hand. When I raised up out of bed, the rest of the figure began coming through the door. I knocked on the wall and screamed for my father to come. He ran down the hall. The hand, arm, and the rest of the figure yanked itself out of the door, and the figure flew away. My father flung the door open. I told him I had seen something, but I couldn't really describe it. We went looking through the house to find some kind of animal because we had both seen something. Third encounter, winter 1988. I had my third experience in the winter of 1988. I became deathly ill with pneumonia. At this time, I remember getting up in the middle of the night to go down the hall to use the bathroom and seeing, hanging upside down from the ceiling, what looked like the upper torso of a pitch black skeleton. with an unusually large head, waving its arms. I will never forget this image. Again, the figure was darker than the darkness around it. I turned the hall light on and it slipped up into the ceiling in a split second. I also remember at least two times in the 3 years I lived in the house, seeing a small figure about 3 feet in height with a hood on. It was always towards the back of the hall where my father's room is, where I had seen the figure of the child when I first moved into the house. As soon as I made eye contact with it, it would recede into the darkness by floating backwards. In 1989, my father and I moved out of the house. Since that time, I believe it has been torn down. I've never experienced anything like this since that time. I can't explain these experiences. I don't believe in ghosts and do not exclude the possibility that the house may have been built in an area with a naturally strong or erratic electromagnetic field that makes people hallucinate, or that I just happen to have very vivid waking dreams while living in the house. All I know is that you couldn't pay me enough to move back into the place. Note, there were a few facts that might help make the story more credible. Other people had seen shadow-like figures in and around the house and described them to me without my telling them about my own experiences. Animals like the neighbor's dog and cats would not set foot on the property. I often saw the neighbor's dog growl at the front window of the house, but she would never go near it. At least a couple of the times I came home from riding my bike to see a friend knocking on my door, asking to be let in as though he were convinced I was inside. When I told him there was no one home, he said that he had seen someone in the house and thought it was me. When he realized that it wasn't me he had seen in the house, he turned sheet white. The only advice I can offer anyone about a problem like this is that whatever it is, it seems to be tied to a specific location. If you're seeing this sort of thing, just move. It only gets worse. Story number 5. A few years back at university, we attended a weekend field trip and we were staying at a manor house near Box Hill in England. A friend and I were sharing a room, and at about 11:30 p.m., lots of very strange things started to happen. It began with what we thought at the time was smoke curling and twisting from a particular point in the room. At first, only my friend could see it, but after a few seconds, I too could see it. All the more strange, as there was no light, yet it was thick, gray, and coiling in a patch between our respective beds. After watching the curls of what we thought was smoke, we started to notice pitch-black shadows gathering in a top corner of the room. The shadows were so black and opaque, we could not see through it at all, but it got bigger and thicker. We could see what appeared to be more black, blobby shadows joining the rest of the mass. After a period of time, the black shadows started to dart across the room, leaving my friend and I in sheer terror. I was too scared even to sit up and turn on the light at the foot of my bed. I remember at one point pulling my quilt up over my face, and when I brought it down again, a blob of this black shadow was literally nose to nose with me. I let out a scream, at which point it darted across the room. My friend saw it dart across the room too. I can't remember at which stage it happened, but my bed began to rock from top to bottom, not side to side. Not strongly, but definite movement, which scared the hell out of me. I can't remember how long this lasted, but it definitely lasted a while. The next thing we saw were orbs of light, flashing lights. One which was shaped like an egg, but much, much larger, of a light blue color. At the time, my friend and I wanted to try and verify what we were seeing, and we agreed to memorize the orb and the next day draw an annotated picture of it, including the color of the orb and the shape of the black blobs. The pictures were identical, as was the color of the orb. There were some more orbs, one white, which didn't do too much, but the blue one was there pretty much all night, flashing regularly. At the time the orbs appeared, we also noticed some lights on the walls where there shouldn't have been any. You know when light leaks through a closed door? Well, it was a bit like that, but it didn't fit with the existing door. It was totally out of sync, and there was no light in the corridor outside. We also saw what appeared to be a fire in the unlit fireplace. This was quite faint, but in color. All the while, the orb continued to flash, and the black shadows were darting across the room. This continued until dawn, a good 6 hours or so. Needless to say, we both had a sleepless night that night, but it had stayed with me since. Story number 6. My experience occurred from around mid-2000 to early 2001 while I was stationed at Fort Hood, Texas. My family, which includes myself, wife, 2 daughters, and son, were living in a military housing on post. We had lived in the house for about 1.5 years before I really noticed anything going on. I had gotten eerie feelings every once in a while, but I just attributed it to an overactive imagination. The house was not creepy or old, and had been renovated about 1 year before we moved in. In fact, it was quite nice. Before I go any further, I need to mention that the shadow never manifested itself to the females of the family, but my wife did witness our son freaking out. Our son, who was age 2 when all this started, began having nightmares sometime in early 2000. But we just thought he was scared of the dark. Sometime around late June, I was in the kitchen fixing a late night snack. It was around 11:15 p.m. The children were all asleep in their rooms and my wife was lying in bed watching Leno. When all of a sudden I hear quite plainly, "Psst, hey, come here." Now, I got upset because the kids were all asleep and for me to have heard it so clearly, my wife must have said it loudly. So after being my usual self, I replied loudly, "What?" My wife never answered. So I continued to fix my snack. After I finished, I went to her room and asked her what she wanted. She said she didn't say anything. So I went and checked on the kids and they were all asleep. Still, I just blew it off and went to bed shortly after. A few weeks later, me and my wife were up late on a Saturday night watching a movie when our son woke up and came into the living room to lay down on the couch with me. A short while later, and without apparent reason, my son started screaming that the boy was going to get him. He scrambled to wedge himself between me and the back of the couch. I was lying down on it. My wife and I looked at each other questioningly. We were watching a comedy. My son ended up sleeping with us that night. A few more weeks later, the episode more or less repeated itself. But our son was lying down with my wife on the love seat this time. This scared my wife this time, but only because our son acted as if the devil himself was out to get him. The nightmares continued for him also. I started to notice that these things seemed to happen between 11 and 11:30 p.m. A couple of weeks later, I was in the living room getting some things ready for work the next day. The kids had been in bed for a few hours asleep with the doors to their rooms closed, and my wife was in our room taking a shower. I can hear the shower running when plain as day I hear someone directly behind me say, "Psst, hey." My hair stood on end. I quickly turned around and of course no one was there. I was quite startled to say the least. I knew where everyone was and there was no explanation as to who just said it. I promptly went to bed and told my wife about it when she got out of the shower. All I got from her was the look, "Guys know what I'm talking about." Also, around this time, my son started telling me almost daily about the boy who was coming down the road. This starts to scare me, but my wife just dismissed it. 2 to 3 weeks later, it's around 11:30 p.m., I was in the living room on the computer. The kids have been in bed for a few hours, and my wife is lying in bed watching TV. My oldest daughter came into the living room to ask me if she could use the restroom. Well, after she gets done, she returns to her room. I kept glancing over my shoulder, expecting her to come back and ask if she can get a drink of water. This was commonplace at the time. About the 3rd or 4th time that I looked down the hallway, here comes this thing walking down the hall. It's about 5 feet tall, looks like a shadow, only a little darker, and it's not on the wall like a shadow. It had swinging arms and its legs were moving as if it was walking. It came down the hallway, walked through the living room, into the foyer, and then apparently into the kitchen, where I heard what sounded like a plastic cup being slammed on the countertop 3 times. I jumped up and ran through the doorway behind me that led through the dining room and into the opposite end of the kitchen that the thing went through. There was no one there, and no cups were on the countertop. At this point, I lost all my military bearing and ran like a little kid and literally jumped into bed still dressed and hid my head under the covers. My wife asked me what was going on, and when I told her what had happened, she just laughed at me. Two nights later, something tried to pull my covers off of me just as I was going to sleep. I pulled back and, of course, covered my head. We moved out of the house about 3 weeks later, not because of the incidents, and have not had any encounters since then. Thank God.